Hey guys, this is Leanna, and on today's episode, I am interviewing my husband Jade in the Husband Tell All. We're gonna get his viewpoints on infertility, maybe a little bit on pregnancy, and just kind of life's perspective from a male. So let's jump in. Actually, do you want to say anything first?
Hi, I'm Jade. Hope to add some interesting insight today.
Okay, so question number one, what have you been most afraid of throughout this process?
I don't know. I mean, first thing that comes to mind is it was not only lengthy, but expensive. And that sounds really shallow when you're talking about, well, this is your family, no expense is too high. But at the same time, it was kind of a real, raising a kid is expensive enough. Are we gonna have any money at the end of this to set up a room or buy clothes and diapers? And so that was kind of a fear. But I guess the biggest fear I had was that it would never happen. At the time, we had no pets or anything like that. And your mind wanders to other options out there.
Okay, so finances and just will it happen?
Yeah.
So most days, I know I can't go more than 5 minutes without thinking about something baby related or infertility related or Googling symptoms. How often do you think most men think about having children and being a father?
On average, if they don't have any kids, less than once a day, easy. If they're in the midst of trying with their wife, I'm sure they think about it quite often because it's likely that she will bring it up, on the next step or what they're doing or doctor's appointments or, whatever her meds are doing to her that day or, something like that, or even in pregnancy. And now fatherhood for me, I think about it all the time.
Did you ever sit and ponder about it, or was it more like, oh, Leanna's acting crazy today? Or like, I
Po
wonder
ponder
what.
about fatherhood?
No, just all of the infertility stuff.
I did. It's I can't speak for every guy, but for me, I don't dwell on things that I have no control over. For the most part, I'm paranoid about certain things, but if I have no control over it, I let it run its course, If I've done everything I can do, I let it run its course. Granted, when you're in those modes, something I can do is try and help you through it. Usually I would try and distract you. I don't think stressing about things was, or stressing about infertility is helpful. But at the same time, you stressing about it made you very prepared for certain things and medications and stuff like
Right.
that.
And that's why I think we're a little bit different too, because you don't stress about things you can't
No.
control, and I stress over everything I can't control.
Yeah.
How do you feel when a family member or a friend announces their pregnancy?
I'm just excited for them. I mean, I put myself in their shoes, and if I announced that I was having a kid, I'm excited. I want other people to be excited. I love seeing my family, your family, all of our friends who got excited when we finally announced that you were pregnant with Brody. And I don't know, I'm not competitive in that way. Like, them getting pregnant has zero bearing on me. Why would I feel any lesser or greater or, I'm just happy they're happy.
Right.
I
But
don't.
did it ever make you sad that we weren't? Or was it more of a, I'm happy for them?
No, the only time is there were some people who would maybe get pregnant and then they would play the whole card of, oh, I'm scared. Guess I won't be able to do all this fun stuff anymore. And that would make me a little bit angry because I'm like, you're viewing this. I don't know if they were viewing it the same way I do, because I was looking forward to it as a huge blessing, a huge, something I longed for in life, and they were taking it for granted, So that
Yeah.
irked me a little bit, but there wasn't too many people like that.
No, I get it. And I think at some point we just got over it too.
Yeah, well, yeah, you get a little bit
You
numb
see
after a
it
few
so
years.
much, and yeah. But we were always excited for friends and family
Oh,
members.
every time.
So how can women support their husbands while we fight this battle as a couple? So what's something that maybe I could have done or that I did that helped you?
In our case, I mean, there are men who have infertility issues as well. And luckily in our case, we don't both struggle with that because I think that would multiply the difficulty.
Right.
So to any women out there whose husbands maybe have that issue, like, I don't think you're ever going to find somebody who understands you better. Like, just the feeling of helplessness or wanting something that is difficult to achieve or maybe never achieve, that's really kind of sad and gut-wrenching, you know, when all you want to hear is the doctor say, oh yeah, you're pregnant. But for a wife to support a husband, I don't know, that's a foreign concept, babe. I always feel like the husband's support. Well, not like that. I just mean, wives support their husbands emotionally.
So being there for you emotionally then, asking you how you're feeling and maybe bringing up, how does this make you feel?
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like, especially the way we were raised and kind of our culture and background, motherhood is something that you looked forward to for years before you were ever even married, obviously. And you felt like that was a singular goal. You had geared your university degree and such to help you be a better future mother. And for me, I strived to be a father and learned about all that kind of stuff since a young age. But I feel like where I had work to put myself into, I had you to worry about and provide for. And you were wanting that purpose in your life. I felt like you needed the support. And I was sad. I'd say most of my sadness, though, was for you. I had resigned myself that what happens, happens. And if it wasn't in the cards for us, we would find other ways. I have multiple friends who have either who were adopted and raised by adoptive parents or adopted others. I mean, there's an old analogy about flowers getting watered. Did I ever tell you that one?
I don't think so.
So if rain falls on a flower, it grows just the same, right? But if it rains up in the hills and runs down the stream right by the flower gets the water just the same. It just takes a little longer to get to it. So
hoping it doesn't die on the way.
The water can't die.
No, but the flower.
I guess. Point being, it might take a little bit longer, but your child will get to you one way or another.
Yes. What has been the hardest part of the infertility journey for you?
The helplessness. Like,
just there's not much we can do.
No, there's that. I mean, you can look up all the home remedies and stuff you want, and I think those do have an impact to one degree or another.
But it just comes down to what your body does.
Yeah, I don't think there's a tea you can brew to fix a hormonal issue or repair something in your uterus or, you know, I'm just pulling words out here. But what I'm saying is, and I'm not a doctor. Like, I can't, there's so little I can do besides try and comfort you or, you know, pull your mind from it or anything like that. And yeah, it's just
so the feeling helpless. Okay. I get that. How did you feel when I went through treatments, medications, and tests?
The treatments, I was usually pretty hopeful the first month or two of some new treatment or medication. The medications kind of suck though, because I always knew it was going to be either gut problems for you or massive headaches or random aches and pains. Or I even remember you were pretty sensitive to bright lights in your eyes for a while. And
yeah.
You just wanted the apartment pretty dark. And I mean, you don't know what's going to come next. So you just batten down the hatches when they would give you a new dosage or a new combination of meds or who knows what. As far as procedures go, though, I was pretty hopeful for almost for all of those. And it was, what, our second
IUI?
Yeah. Sorry, I just whispered that, making sure I got the acronym right. It was our second IUI, and I was pretty hopeful through that because it was new and the science that I do know, it made sense. I'm like, oh, you know, this is pretty good. Like, we've timed it right. They've scanned these don't tell me. I know this one. Follicles.
Yes.
John. And they've scanned these follicles. They're looking good. And at one point, I was like, oh, there's two. We might be twins. You know, name them something goofy. You know, that rhymes. But overall, the procedures, I was never worried about. It was mainly the meds. All of your tests.
Blood tests. That was like every week.
I did worry about you because at first when they were taking a lot of vials of blood from you every so often. Like what? Once a month?
At least. It was like every other week, I think, at one point.
Yeah, they were... It probably wasn't a pint, but those vials look big. And they were taking a lot of blood, and you didn't do well with that at first. You were very lightheaded and had to sit and wait sometimes just to feel well enough to drive home. So that was kind of worrying, but your body acclimated to that eventually.
So do you ever feel like throwing in the towel? If so, when does this feeling usually happen?
Throwing in the towel? I don't know if I ever felt like throwing in the towel. Because most of my frustration with certain things was like, so you were doing pretty good on the Clomid, then they moved you to the metformin for like, what, 6 months?
Yeah.
And that was a nightmare. And I was just like, why? Why would you do that? Like, just go back to the Clomid. Like, so I didn't think about throwing in the towel. Maybe throwing in the towel with our healthcare provider at the time and looking for somebody else who knew what they were doing. No, I don't think we would have ever thrown in the towel. I think we may have just said, well, I guess we'll kind of be doing this off and on a little bit and we'll just proceed with adoption. Until the doctors say there's no chance, I don't think I would have given up. But would you?
No, I think we would have kept trying eventually. I mean, you know, money's got to run out eventually, but I think, you just push forward and I think we would have. And maybe this time around, I mean, we're just barely starting out this time, but, you know, we're going to go until it happens.
Even if we had to wait, save up for a year to afford more treatments or something, or... It's the in vitro that's really expensive, right?
Yeah.
Even if we had to save up for a year or two doing that, I don't think we would have given up.
What has been the greatest help through the infertility journey?
Probably the success stories. It seems like as soon as your friends or family find out that, you know, as a couple you're going through infertility, they start telling you stories of somebody they know or... that it worked. Like, oh, well, here was their combo. You know, they did this med, and this procedure, and it worked. Oh, okay. Oh, well, here's this other one. And I don't know, maybe that seems a little daunting, but for me, I was like, okay, so basically, this is just like a math equation. You gotta figure out the combo that works for you and your body, and it can, you know, it might stick. Might still take a month or two or three or six, but it can work, you know?
That's funny because that's your greatest help, knowing that there's some equation out there that's right for me. But that was one of my biggest struggles, was because I feel like we were always trying different combinations and I never know which part of the combination was working. You know, they pair one med with another med, and then the next month they keep one of them and they throw it with some random one. And then the next month they skip meds because they want to see if your body does it on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, I can see why. But again, that may just be the healthcare provider shooting in the dark or shooting from the hip, as opposed to a very steady, methodical crossing combos off the list.
Right, but say there's 9 fertility drugs, 9 paired with 9, that's, you know...
That's a lot of months.
That's a lot of months.
It's a lot of trying.
Do you confide in your guy friends about the struggles and your feelings surrounding infertility?
Yes.
Was it easy to do that at first, or...?
I mean, for me, yes, because I have good guy friends, but I could see why that might not be the case for a lot of men. But it was also kind of tricky because I would mainly use like vague terms. Unless their wife or somebody close to them has gone through infertility, they're not going to know the drugs. They're not going to know the tests and procedures and treatments. And
yeah,
you know, and their knowledge of the reproductive system is also going to be rudimentary. I feel like mine's pretty good about now.
Yeah.
Just from all of that stuff. So you kind of just vaguely talk about, it's a little frustrating, you vent a little bit of steam, you chat about things, you know, but...
Right. Because that's not really something guys talk about, really. I'm assuming.
Like, yeah. My boys aren't doing too good or something?
I don't know.
Well, I don't... I probably would have mentioned it, but I have a huge problem saying way more than I should.
Right. But so. That's why you have friends. Because they accept you as that way. So
that's true. I'm an oversharer. So I probably would have said, well, yeah, you know, Leanna struggles with some stuff. And some of her hormone balances are off and whatever the case may be. I would have probably told them that. And friends can be a good help. And I hope some of them come to me. Just millions and millions of women in this country, billions around the world. Well, I guess not. There's only 4 billion women in the world, but.
All right, so next question. What has been the most surprising thing you've learned about this process?
How many people have it?
Have infertility issues?
Yeah. What is it, 1 in 8 women have PCOS mm-hmm. alone? Not to mention the other myriad infertility things. I don't know the stats on guys having infertility, but that just...
So that kind of blew my mind.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That stat is so high. Bottom line is hundreds of millions of women, and it's... I don't know. It's like... You go, if you're walking through Walmart doing your shopping, count 8 women, one of them has infertility. That's nuts. That's crazy. Yeah. That's so widespread. I just thought, well, you know, you got your fertile myrtles out there who their husband looks at them sideways and, oh, they're pregnant. And then you have your average woman who it might take, what?
6 months.
2 to 6 months. And then... You have varying degrees of infertility past that, but that just blew my mind.
The amount of infertile women, but the lack of infertility clinics.
Yeah.
At least in our area.
Yeah, here in Central California, it's near Fresno, it's one hospital.
At least that we're aware of. Well, and it's in our insurance, but well, that could be part of the other issue.
I get that healthcare professionals need to be... paid decent wages for the high, give your chances an edge. And I do believe in those things. But I think most women suffering from infertility, back to the costs, what, like you don't need to have kids, so therefore we're not, insurance won't help you pay for this. Okay, well, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Like, they cover a lot of things that people do voluntarily. There is heart problems out there due to people's poor lifestyle choices or other problems, and they'll cover those things, but they won't cover infertility. Heck, you were eating nothing but like super healthy fresh vegetables and whole grains, and like you were seriously taking care of yourself hoping to better your body, but they're not going to cover an effort to help you get pregnant, but they're not going to cover infertility. And then you have people out there who aren't taking care of themselves, like, at all. And everything they do falls under insurance, it feels like. So that was really frustrating. I hope anybody listening to this has really good options and plans out there that do cover that.
At least to my knowledge, I don't think infertility is covered under any insurance, though. Well, I don't think that's just specific to us. But
well, then maybe what I described here is pretty relatable.
But finances, we were just going to go until we couldn't anymore, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of was our mentality.
Stop and save up for a few years and try it again, I guess.
Yeah, there were a lot of times we didn't go places or eat out just so that we could save up for checkups and appointments. And
it's not like it was an exorbitant amount of money every time. But you would go in 1 week and she would scan your follicles and there's, let's just say, $100. And then you go back later in the week because she has to do a checkup. Oh, there's another $100. And then...
A big procedure.
Yeah, a big procedure. you know,
and the meds that go with it. There's a
big chunk of money. Oh, here's some meds that are out of pocket. It's weird that you have to pay infertility to get pregnant, but you don't have to pay to have a baby.
You do have to pay to have a baby.
Well, I know, but it still goes under the deductible.
At least that part is,
none of this went towards the deductible.
It's okay. It was worth it. It worked eventually.
Yes, it did.
So, after getting pregnant, how did life change, in your opinion? We got pregnant. Now what? Our daily, or I guess not daily, our weekly doctor checkups turned into every other month, and I was no longer waking up to take OPKs, and...
Leanne is the researcher. She gets something stuck in her head, and she goes into worry mode and researches it all out, right? And so I get home from work, and she lays it out for me nice and pretty. Here's what we've learned today, Jade. She'd go through it and sharing bedrooms or, you know, leaving doors open. And because you guys weren't allowed to close your doors, right?
Right.
And that was just like a parenting thing where I grew up with. I had one older brother and we were given very long leashes to do whatever we wanted. So Leanne and I grew up very different. So we talked a lot about different parenting things. And I think that was one of the biggest changes from you getting pregnant. I had to start thinking about parenting styles. I think it did change me as a person a little bit. I could no longer be this image of a person I thought I was in college, you know? Like, you know, life's about to get real, real fast, you know? And I would say I'm still 85% who I was, you know, but Dad Jade is a lot more patient. I thought a lot about my child's future. That was a big change. Before, it felt like I was just getting stuck on a whole lifetime of spending time with this person I had never met yet. That was just a pretty big change. Like, you know, you've been ramming your head into this wall for so long just trying to get pregnant, and all of a sudden they open the door when you're going for another ram and you go flying through into this huge room of possibility. So your head just kind of swimming for a while. Another big change, our secondary room had to get totally overhauled for putting a crib and baby.
That wasn't too much of a change, though.
Well, no, just for being one little person, he takes up a lot of room with stuff.
Yeah, baby gear is big and bulky and expensive.
Yeah, under our bed is full, under the twin bed we have in there is full, under his crib is full, all the closets are full, like, anyway. So that was another change. I felt like everything, all of a sudden, our apartment got a lot smaller.
Yeah. Your personal space is now a baby's space.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. What's the most rewarding part about being a dad?
Most rewarding part? I don't know. I mean, he's still in kind of his mama. He loves mama phase. If he's upset, he'll give her hugs and...
He's going to stay that way.
Legs. Probably. Well, so what he does now, well, he did it today. I got done with work at 5, go downstairs. He hears me coming down the stairs. And Leanna tells me he just, you know, a little diaper swishing, runs over to the stairs. And he's been doing this bob up and down thing where he'll like bend his knees and kind of dance.
It's like a cowboy stance dance.
Yeah, you just have to see it. And he just gets so excited to see me come down. And with me, what he wants from me is two things. He wants me to pick him up, and then he'll either point in a direction so I can taxi him around, a little chauffeur, or he knows I'll cave and I'll give him snacks. So that's what he wants from me. But he won't give me hugs or anything.
So the most rewarding part?
The most rewarding?
Life seems to be easier. It's super stressful. And crazy, but we have a kid, and I feel like it's just, there's always that sigh of relief, like, there's never a day where we're like, we regret this, why are we doing this? It's, he's a blessing, we're going to cherish this.
That is a huge upside to infertility, I think. Once you're through it, I have never once, you know, he could have a fever and be crying all night, and never once have I regretted it or thought, oh man, what have we done? Not once. I don't know, maybe parents without infertility feel the same way and they're just brimming with love like I feel I am for their children. I should preface this with, I wanted kids, but I didn't know how good I would be with kids, or I thought, you know, Leanna's gonna have to take the brunt of it while they're little and I'll handle them as teenagers. That kind of just went out the window. I just love him, and it's been rewarding to watch him, all of his little stages he goes through, you know, just his cute little barely moving and can't even focus his eyes on things stage to he can lay on his back and kind of look at the mobile. And it's just so rewarding to see him learn and grow. And I'm looking forward to when he can, I mean, he's walking, but I'm looking forward to when he's talking and I can teach him. And I'm looking forward to how rewarding it'll be to have a little buddy. Like, I call him little buddy, but a little buddy that I can do things with and teach and joke with and have fun and play with his siblings in the future. Like, I feel like that's going to be the most rewarding. Not that every day hasn't been rewarding. It's all rewarding, but it's going to be even more rewarding when I can actually hear him say, love you, Dada. I don't know. That's going to be a big reward. I'm looking forward to that.
How have your thoughts changed about infertility as we're heading into the second round of infertility?
Well, things seem to be going faster this time since we kind of figured out your combo. So my thoughts this time are...
There's not the stress of what's going to happen, how is this going to work?
Exactly. Leanna has to start this medication this week, so she's going to be having headaches and stuff like that, and... she's not going to be in the mood for my puns or, and it really helps that we do have a kid. And I think that lifts just a lot of stress off our shoulders. Cause after so many years, it really weighed on us at first.
Right.
That first round. And, you know, it just felt kind of dark. Like, you know, when is this going to happen? And now that we have Brody, somebody to pour our attention into,
Takes up all of our time.
it's almost like, well, even if it doesn't happen right away, that's okay. We still got our hands full.
Right.
So it is far less stressful. But at the same time, we do want to plan our family where our kids are, you know, 2-3 years apart. We don't want them being strangers to each other. But overall, it's far less stressful going into the second round.
So from a religious standpoint, how would you say being Christian has helped you with infertility?
In our particular faith of Christianity, we believe in being sealed together. And so if we had had to go the adoption route, as I was kind of resigning myself to at one point, like, you know, that's a very real thing, we might have to do this. We don't see a difference in adoption of a family. If we are sealed together, well, that's that. Their family, they are as close to us of family as any other family in the eyes of God. So to me, that was a big influence on it. But we also believe that all things will be made right, this life or the next, and that we would have had the chance to raise kids after Jesus had come again and all that kind of thing. So that was also a big comfort. Like, even if it doesn't happen in this life, we believe that we would get that opportunity eventually, someday.
It kept your spirits high.
It did. It takes the edge off, because how many trials in life, you know, how many trials do I have to go through before I get the reward, Lord? Not that every faith-based thing should be reward-driven.
Right.
But in this case, I feel like the desire to raise a righteous family is a pretty righteous desire to have. That is by far not a sinful desire. That really took the edge off, even though and did make it somewhat easier, but I think sometimes the trial of faith that you're going through it's never completely gone. You may feel like, oh well, maybe I'm not worth as much because I can't do what all these other women can. Well, guess what? 1 in 8 are like you. 1 in 8 are having infertility problems. You are not uncommon. You are not any less because of this. This wasn't...
Okay, so to finish this off, do you have any parting words of wisdom for women, men, anyone going through infertility?
Talk to people, your family, your friends, find out what wisdom they can offer. Because like I said, it was a huge comfort for me to learn of people who had successfully navigated infertility, and maybe they found a really good program or hospital or clinic to help them and they made it through, you know? Maybe that's something you could do. Maybe they'll offer treatment that you haven't heard about. Maybe your doctors haven't heard about it. Doctors are very busy people. They see patients all day. Maybe they haven't been keeping up on the latest treatments or medications that are out there that maybe could be an option that would work for you. And on top of all that, just the inspiration or the hope it can give you, knowing that other people have been successful who are like you, and you can too. Something you chose. This isn't something you did to yourself. So talk to other people. Find those who can be a strength to you, a group. Heck, even just, I think you'll end up finding more of your friends who have infertility. And like any kind of trial in your life or problem you're going through, when you find other people who are progressing through something similar or who have done it in the past, makes it that much easier to rely on their wisdom and experience.
Thanks for listening to this episode, guys. Make sure you like, subscribe, share, review our podcast. Follow us on Instagram. Come on, Jade. You got to know it. What's the podcast?
Life's Fertile Questions. I know that.
Okay. So follow us on Instagram at Life's Fertile Questions Podcast.
Make sure to subscribe on any podcast service where we're found. I guess I shouldn't say we're. I'm a guest star here. I'm not... not a regular.
But what he said. All right, we'll catch you guys later.